1234. Now, here's your host, Mark Moses.
Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed to a Thursday edition of the Mark Moses Show, only right here on 107.9 FM, 1560 AM, and anywhere you listen online and podcast. And yes, if you are wondering, the last 24 hours or so have been super crazy in the world of sports. We went from Pete Carroll retiring, you know, college football champion, NFL champion as a coach. Then we had the word around 5:25 yesterday, around that ballpark, where Nick Saban was retiring from Alabama football and college football overall. Then you had UCF upsetting Kansas. I was at that game. Then this morning, yes, Bill Belichick, probably the greatest NFL coach of the modern lifetime. Yeah, he's parting ways. Not retiring. Didn't get fired. Didn't quit. Parting ways with the New England Patriots. All this is going on. All of it. Two greatest coaches of the last 20 years. You really think about it. College and the NFL. Saban, Belichick. Both said, this isn't going to work anymore. I'm going to move on. They're both in their 70s. They both have plenty of trophies, plenty of rings. Yeah, they got the resumes to make the Hall of Fame, and that's an understatement. Just shocking. Shocking. So yesterday, I leave here, and I drive over to UCF, and I'm like flipping the dial, and I'm listening to all these different national radio shows, and they're all talking Saban. Saban, 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 Saban. They're all talking about it. His legacy, his, not only at Alabama, but what he did to the sport of college football. And that who's going to take over for him? Would he ever coach again? Like, all these things are going on. And honestly, when I'm driving to UCF, I'm thinking, okay, well, UCF's probably going to lose to Kansas horribly. And then this show today is going to be dedicated to Nick Saban. But then UCF wins that game last night. Then I go to bed and I go, all right, well, we'll start with UCF and we'll get into Saban. And then Belichick happened. Man, this is nonstop. What have you done for me in the last 5 minutes? That's what it feels like to me. Because I feel like, all right, we're going to do this show. And then by 4 o'clock, something even crazier is going to happen. I don't know. The NBA folds. I don't know. Something crazy like that. Trust me, it won't. But you never know with what's happened here over the last 24 hours or so. I just want to say this. I saw Nick Saban coach Alabama football. The first time I saw it, I was in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. It was the final year of the old Georgia Dome. Gators led by Jim McElwain against Nick Saban in Alabama. That was a butt kicking I've never seen before. It was over in the first quarter. Alabama in that game, this is the 2016 SEC championship game. Bama scored on offense, defense, and special teams. It was 21-0, and the game was over. It was over. The Gators quarterback that day, I think, was Austin Appleby. I know. Don't get me started on that subject. But Bama won, SEC champs, and I always remember this in my career. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to that Alabama postgame show. I am. I'm going to it. I want to see Nick Saban talk postgame. And I see coaches, let's see, high school, college, the pros, all different levels. I go to all these different press conferences. I want to see this guy talk. I sat in the front row, and people were asking questions to Nick Saban, and that guy was like a computer. He knew every single play of the game by heart, didn't look at any stats. And I'm thinking, man, this guy is the best coach in America. This is it. He's right there. He's right there. He's rallying off everything. And what's funny is he destroyed the Gators in this game. Destroyed them. And the look on his face is he wasn't happy. Like, they should have won by 900 points. Not just 40, 900 points. It was awesome. I really, in that moment, I thought it was really cool. Next time I saw Nick Saban, it was 2018. I was back in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days, which I've gone to, I think I've gone 3 times now. And I always remember this. So there's a room with Radio Row, with all the different radio stations. And I'm there, and I'm standing by my buddy David Schultz, who was doing a show, I believe, in Lafayette at the time. And I'm standing at his table, and I always appreciate David's help. I really do. He helped me out that day. We're standing there, and I always remember this. Nick Saban walks in the room. And, you know, you're in a room full of radio guys and the guys who just like to talk. And I'm a big shot. I talk for a living. Saban walked in with his, you know, PR people. Everyone got quiet. Everyone. This is the guy. This is Nick Saban. He's one of the reasons why the SEC, pound for pound, is the best conference in college football. You want to win a title, you go through us. And it starts with Nick Saban. When he walked through that room, everyone got quiet. Everyone's watching him. It's one of those moments where everyone's watching him walk by. And Nick Saban knew it, too. He knows who he is. He knows he's the best coach in college football. He's walking by, right? And I always remember this. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. He walks right by us. I make eye contact with Saban, and I go, "Hey, coach, thanks for coming." He's like, "Yeah, no worries." And he kept walking. That's right. So I once had a conversation with Nick Saban. That's right. I did. Next time I saw Nick Saban was January 1st, 2020, when they played Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. January 1st. I don't know. Who knows? A Pop-Tart, Cheez-It. I can't keep up after a while. January 1st, 2020. I remember driving to that game in Orlando, and I'm thinking, you know, 2020. I know this is really crazy to say. I'm driving to the game. I'm like, you know, 2020 is going to be a great year. I'm like, I'm going to have a big year. I'm going to do this, this, and this. It's going to be awesome. That's what I always remember. 2020 is going to be awesome. And it wasn't, but that's another story. I go to that game. Remember, Tua is injured, and they start Mac Jones, and they take on Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, and they annihilate Michigan in that game. And they win the game, and everyone's very excited. And I remember going to the post-game news conference, and it was packed, packed with reporters, because they're thinking what I was thinking back in 2016. Here's Nick Saban, the best coach in college football's probably history. Here he is. I want to hear this guy talk. And I always think about that. And that's when I think of Nick Saban, this guy. Yeah, he won a lot of championships. He won 6 at Alabama. Who even knows how many SEC championships? It feels like every single year. Even when they lose, it feels like he won. And then remember, he won with LSU as well in 2003. This guy's a winner. If you ask a Dolphins fan, that's another story. But he went to Alabama. He turned them into a super-duper power. And you know what I think about? 2009 SEC championship game. Undefeated Florida, undefeated Alabama. The year before, the Gators beat Bama. Saban was ready for that second time. Alabama defeated the Florida Gators. And on that day, that was the end of Urban Meyer. That was the end of the Florida run. And that was the start of the Alabama reign over college football. That's what it was. And I told someone earlier today, what makes it so remarkable, he constantly had coordinators leaving. They would go take head coaching jobs, or they'd go to another school, or they'd go to the NFL. They'd constantly, and you know this with college football, you have to have that set of coordinators. You got to have stability there because of recruiting. You don't just coach, you recruit as well if you're part of a staff. It was a revolving door under Saban, but he was there, and they'd go play for Nick Saban. And I always make this point about him. If you're a big-time college football recruit, and if Alabama calls you, you got to go. If they give you the scholarship, if they offer you the chance to go play football at Alabama, you have to go. You have to. You can go play for Nick Saban, and he's going to give you the best opportunity to go play in the NFL. You have to go. There's no debate. You're like, well, I'm also looking at Texas and, you know, maybe Florida, Florida State. You know, I also like Ohio State. Yeah, I know. Those are amazing. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. But if Nick Saban calls you up, you have to go play for him. You have to do it. That was his reign. That's how great he was. It's amazing. You think of the recruiting from the standpoint of, all right, they had a quarterback room at one point. Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones all started NFL games this year, right? Then the next guy, Bryce Young, wins the Heisman Trophy and a national championship. He's the next guy, the fourth guy in line, and he was the number one pick in the draft. He adjusted also. Remember, he was ground and pound. He was, we're going to control the ball, run the ball, and play championship defense. But Saban understood, I got to switch it up. I've got to become a passing team as well if I'm going to compete with today's college football. And he did. He adjusted, and he still dominated. It's amazing. It is. I'm just happy and fortunate that I got to see him coach Alabama in person, right? Do I like Alabama? No, I don't. Do I like seeing them constantly hammer the Gators? No. The 2020 SEC championship game still hurts for me. Still. Because that offense with Dan Mullen, they were the best offense in football. And remember, that was a crazy shootout where Alabama had no answers for Florida. And if Florida under Mullen had any type of defense, Florida would have won the national title that year. I have no hesitation in my brain. That's how I feel. It's a woulda, coulda, shoulda. But Bama was better, and Bama went and won the national title. They did. It's crazy to think about, but that's what it is. And I just remember all these things, all of it. I remember Bama. They beat Tebow and Florida in the 09 SEC championship game. They remember, they go to the title game, and they take on Colt McCoy in Texas with Mac Brown. And Texas was favored. And in that first quarter, that Bama defense, which was so nasty, knocked out Colt McCoy. That was the end of Texas as well. And that started Bama winning all those championships. That's what I always think about. It's a crazy run, but that's what happened. It was. And now in the SEC, especially if you're in that division, the West, you're thinking like, you know, I'm LSU, I'm Ole Miss, right? I'm Texas A&M. You just think of all those teams. Or if you're Georgia as well, you're probably thinking, hey, Saban's finally gone. Maybe we can win now. Maybe we can be the next dynasty. Maybe we can do this. That happened with the Bulls and Michael Jordan. When Jordan retired, other teams in the East, you know, you're Patrick Ewing, you're Reggie Miller. You know, you're thinking, oh, whoa, there's no more Jordan to dominate us. Maybe it's our time to be a champion. Now we can do this. This is great. That's what it must feel like today. And I want to make this point about Nick Saban. There's a part of me, and I heard this rumblings yesterday when I was driving to the UCF game, about name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal, and it's changed college football. I believe some of this. I do. I don't know if it's 100% true that we can only ask Nick Saban this question, but I could see that. Saban dominated BCS, end of the BCS era, and the college football playoff, the four team. That was his reign. Now we're going to uncharted territories. He's in his 70s. There's that book, and it turned into a great movie, No Country for Old Men, where it talks about, you know, there's an analogy in there about a police officer who gets too old where he can't handle the next generation of criminal. That's kind of the gist of that movie. You get No Country for Old Men. You look at Belichick, you look at Saban, they're in their 70s. This is a new world they're in. You know what? I've done enough. Let a younger man handle this pressure. That's what it kind of feels like to me. There's nothing wrong with that. It just feels like No Country for Old Men. That's my analogy today. They're in their 70s. You know what? I'm not doing this transfer portal. I'm not paying all these players. This is ridiculous. This is not what I signed up for. I could see that. I could see that for Nick Saban. Now, the thing with New England and Belichick, remember, didn't retire, wasn't fired, didn't quit. No, parting ways is the terminology we're using today. He's going to coach again. I think he's still got some left in the tank here. Now, where do you want to go? You want to go to Washington, Seattle? What job do you want after a while? Because I know, look, he's in his 70s as well, but if you're an NFL franchise, especially if you're like a Washington, which is a laughingstock and a dumpster fire, and you have that new ownership there, and Belichick calls you up, hey, I want to be here. I think you let him be there. I think you let him be the coach. I think that's what you do. It's fascinating. But the thing with Belichick, I'm going to say this right now. I remember when he accepted the job for the Jets, then he backed down and became the coach of the Patriots. I remember being in my college dorm room when they were on Monday Night Football, and Drew Bledsoe's running towards the sidelines, and he gets hit, and Brady has to come in. I remember that. I remember when they were in the snow. We sent about this the other day. January 19th, 2002. My Bears lose to the Eagles earlier that day. I come home. Tuck rule happens. I remember going home at my parents' house, and Charles Woodson hits Tom Brady, and they're fumble. Then they call it no. It's a tuck rule. And then they win that game with Vinatieri in overtime. I remember when the next week they go to Pittsburgh and Brady gets injured and Bledsoe comes in. Remember, Drew Bledsoe wins the AFC Championship game. Then 2 weeks getting ready for the Rams, the greatest show on turf, 14-point dogs. Should Bledsoe start the game? I remember all this thing. And I remember when 2 minutes ago, Brady gets the ball and John Madden, who I love with all my heart, he said you should, you know, take a knee, go to overtime, and no. Belichick and Brady said, we're going down, we're scoring, and they hit that field goal. I remember all this stuff. I remember all of it. I'm not a Patriots fan, and I remember all their greatest moments. That's how big of a team they were over the last two decades. And every other year, they're in the Final Four. It's like they were always in the AFC Championship game. A lot of them, they didn't win, but a lot of them, they did win, right? 28-3. They came back. The Falcons, one of the greatest choke jobs of all time, and Brady came back in that one. You just go on. There were so many where, in the early 2000s, you know, it was Brady versus Peyton Manning, and Belichick was ready, and he had a scheme ready for the Colts, and the Colts always had great offenses, and the Patriots shut them down, and they'd go to the Super Bowl. And I remember in 2006, 06, 07, remember, New England goes to Indianapolis. They're up big, double digits, and Manning finally gets over the hump, and he beats the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. And the Patriots fans were so angry, so what did they do? The Patriots went out, and they got Randy Moss. And then they went 18-0, and then they lose to Eli Manning. Everyone knows this. Everyone saw the tuck. You know, you had the tuck rule, then you had the helmet catch. I mean, there's so many famous plays with the Patriots. All of it. Even the game against Philadelphia, where Nick Foles beat them. With the Philly special, like all these games. The one where they take on Manning again when he's with Denver to get to Super Bowl 50. And, you know, you think Denver's going to win, and then Brady goes on this run late in the game. And I swear, it should have been pass interference on Denver where they're tackling Gronk in the end zone. He almost caught it, and he doesn't. Denver wins, and just goes on and on and on. And I'll say this. Here's my other thing. I saw the Belichick Brady Patriots. I'm so happy I did. I was living in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is 2010. My dad still had the season tickets to the Bears. They were going to play Brady and the Patriots. I told work, I go, look, I don't care. I'm taking off. I'm flying to Chicago. I'm going to this game. It was one of the craziest snow games I've ever been to. I don't even know how we got to the game. My dad drove us. I still don't understand how he did that. We get to the game. The Bears are really good. We went to the NFC Championship game that year. Last time we were actually really good. And it's snowing the whole game. And I always remember this. It was the National 425 game on CBS. And I always remember this. You're in horrible conditions. And Jay Cutler could not throw the ball. He didn't know what to do. Then Brady gets on the field. And he's just throwing dimes left and right. That's why he's the GOAT, Tom Brady. He's just throwing the ball. No problem. Not only throwing the ball, guys are catching it like Deion Branch. And I think, Wes Welker. I mean, they're just like catching it, running. That was such a butt kicking by the Patriots. CBS turned away and went to another game in the third quarter. I always remember that. You know what? I saw him play in person. I feel very lucky with what I do and just... You know, I love sports with all my heart, and it's cool that I got to see this stuff. And I think about where I saw Michael Jordan as a kid. I saw him play. I was very young, but my dad took me. I saw Michael Jordan. I saw him play. I saw, if you think about it, okay, in 98, I saw Sammy Sosa play at Wrigley Field, and I saw Mark McGwire play at Old Busch Stadium during the chase of 98 for the Roger Maris record. Like, I saw this thing. It was really cool. I saw Tom Brady play in person. I saw him play for the Patriots. And I can just go on and on and on. I mean, I saw, you know what I think about? One of the great teams I saw? First ever game I covered at the Amway Center, which is now the Kia Center. 2013, first game I ever covered for the Orlando Magic, they took on the Miami Heat. And I'm talking the Miami Heat, the Heatles, where it's LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. That was awesome. And I was in the locker room with those guys. I stood by LeBron. And I'm like, you know what? That's the best basketball player in the world, and he's standing right by me. That's really cool. And you know what I thought about this morning? I saw the best college football coach of all time. I saw him, Nick Saban, and I saw the greatest NFL coach of all time. I saw Bill Belichick with the New England Patriots. That was pretty cool. That really is. That's why if you got a chance to go to one of these games, just go. You never know. And I'll end with this. I bring that up for this standpoint. You know, I saw this game back in November, and I was talking about it kind of rumbling with a couple different guests over the last couple weeks and months. Hey, you know, UCF, they're going to host the Kansas Jayhawks in their first ever Big 12 home opener. You know, I might have to go to that game. I might have to do it. And I sent out an email Sunday night. And I emailed UCF. I was like, hey, this is Mark. You know, they know who I am. But I'm like, hey, this is Mark. Hey, is there any chance I can get a last-minute credential to go to that game? Like, that'd be really cool if I could go. So they got back to me 24 hours later. Like, Mark, yeah, here we go. We're gonna get you in. You'll be the last guy we'll credential. Here's a parking pass. All right, go. So yesterday, I left here around like 5:30 or so. I replayed something. You know, cat's out of the bag. And I got on 95. And I drove there as fast as I could. And I was really tired. I've been working all week. And especially coming back from vacation, start the new year. I've been working every night till 7, 8 o'clock at night. I mean, just all day long, trying to get things ready to go for this year. And I'm like really tired. I'm driving. I'm going over to UCF. And I park in the garage. I get there 5 minutes before tip off. And I sit down. And I'll tell you. That was really surreal because I've been around this team for over a decade now, UCF, and especially basketball. Basketball has not been good. They had one good year. Remember when they had Taco Fall and BJ Taylor, and remember they made the tournament. They should have beaten that stupid Duke Zion team in the second round, and that's about it. And they haven't been to the tournament since then, and I've been very down on this team, and they came out, they played okay the first couple minutes, then Kansas went up 16, and you're like, well, this isn't good. And that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. And then something funny happened, right? Kansas started playing their worst game of the year. I don't know what it is. There's something weird here. There were a lot of Kansas fans at this game. A lot. I don't blame them. Hey, I live in Kansas. It's 5 degrees. Let's take a trip to Orlando in early January where it's 70. We'll go to Disney World. We'll kick the crap out of this commuter school, and then we'll go home. It'll be a great little vacation right after the holidays. Let's do it. Yeah, there's one problem, though. Kansas was up 9 at the half, and then all of a sudden, UCF, they just started hitting buckets, and they started making plays. And it takes 2 to tango. Kansas was making fundamental mistakes. Mistakes they teach you in high school. It's just, you know, kicking it out of bounds, not hitting the right guy on the transition play. I mean, just bricking shots, not getting rebounds, fouling at the worst time. I mean, every mistake, every stupid mistake you can make, Kansas was making last night. They were the third best team in the country. Third. Remember the night before, Purdue lost to Nebraska. They were number one. Right, Houston was 2. They lost Iowa State. I think Mississippi State, they beat Tennessee, was ranked 5 last night. And yes, UCF defeated the number 3 team in the country. The Kansas Jayhawks. Rock, Chuck, Jayhawk. Everyone knows that. They're a blue blood. They're a Final Four contender. They raise championship banners. Bill Self, their coach, might be the guy now. It's not Coach K anymore. He retired. Bill Self might be the best coach in college basketball. Well, he wasn't last night. UCF won. That is, without a shadow of a doubt, the best win in the program's history. There's no debate. You beat a blue blood on your court. Post game. I'm going to say this real quick. Post game. Those Kansas players are like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, we weren't rattled by the court or the fans. No. We just, you know, blah, 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 blah. They're just like talking and talking and talking. You are Kansas. You are a blue blood. You are a national championship contender. You know what you also are? You're going to get back on that plane with a big L on your head, and you're going to never come back. That's exactly what it was. It was awesome. I'm so happy I went. I was like, there's part of me like, should I go? I'm happy I did go, because I saw one of the craziest things ever. And what I did was, if you didn't see the video, I took my phone, and I started recording. And when those fans started rushing the court, I've never been a part of that before. I've never rushed the court. So I'm rushing the court with the players, and you could see me in the video get on the court. It was wild. It was wild, but it was fun. And you know what it says about college basketball? There's no great teams. There's no great players. It's complete chaos. And that's why March Madness is going to be so much fun. Congratulations to Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. And you know what? Congratulations, UCF basketball. Biggest win in franchise history. That's awesome. Here's what we're going to do. We'll go to break. We'll come back. Tim Walters, Florida Today. He'll join us next. We'll get his thoughts on Bill Belichick and Nick Saban.